Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Pastor Derek Dunn, lead pastor of Alive Church, Orange County. To find out more about Alive Church or Pastor Derek, please visit alivechurchoc.org or derekdunn.org. You could also follow us on your favorite social media platform at Alive Church OC or Derek Dunn OC.
And a part of that is, like Pastor Susan was saying, is we create the atmosphere through our praise, through our worship, where God comes and he enthrones. The presence of God is everywhere, but God is not manifested everywhere. Yeah. I mean, have you ever been in a place and people say, well, God is in this place, and you're like, I don't really sense him. But then there's times you see his presence. You know, you see the wind blowing. You see the fire of God touching people. And when God shows up, there's a manifestation of his presence because he's in the room. Amen? And so we want to create that, and we want to be carriers of the presence of God. But what's the purpose? It's not just for us to just enjoy his presence for ourselves, even though that's part of what we do. But it's for us to go and begin to take that and multiply it and bring it to other people. It's great for a husband and a wife come together. Come on, all the married people, get noisy and celebrate today. Come on. All of y'all singles, you can drool and just wait for your moment, your time. But what's the purpose? It's not for just us to come together and we just have this romantic time and we go on our honeymoon and the wedding and all that's beautiful. What is it to be fruitful and multiply and have children? And when you have children, it gets a little messy. It's diapers, and yeah, Lace is like, yep, they've got a toddler, and you know, they call it the terrible twos, bind that in Jesus' name, but you know, you go through those times where it's messy. Now you got kids, it's not just, you can't do whatever you want to do, you got to get on a schedule, you got to, you know, take care of your children, you got to change diapers, you now got to pay for school and clothes and all those kind of things, but it's wonderful, because what are we doing? We're taking this love and we're sharing it with something we've created through that intimacy and through that love, amen? And so the same is true for us as a church, as we come, as we encounter God and we get married to Jesus. That's really what the picture is in the Bible. It's not just for us to enjoy that for ourselves, but we need to go and we need to share and bring the presence of God outside the four walls of the church. There's people that are hurting. There's people that are dying and they don't know it. Some people in Orange County, they're doing all right. They might have a nice car, they live in a nice house, they've got a good job, they think everything's great, but they're headed toward destruction. There's a curse over their life. There's something in their life that they are not able to fulfill outside Jesus. And they could be trying to do it through success, through gaining money. They can do it through womanizing, through, you know, all the things that go on. We try to find all these substitutes, but there's a part in our heart that only Jesus can fulfill. Amen? And so we need to share that hope with them. So the title of my message today is The Ripple Effect of One. The Ripple Effect of One. Because as we look at the Bible, we see that Jesus didn't evangelize through crusades. He had crusades, but how did he really build the church? How did he really make disciples? It was through each one reaching one. Amen? And so we want healing to happen, not just in the four walls of the church, but outside the walls of the church. We want to bring what we have. So today, I want to share with you from a story in the book of John, John chapter 1 and verse 40. And we see how Jesus began to bring revival and bring a movement in his day. In John chapter 1, verse 40, it says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and to tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which was then translated as Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. And finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. And Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. So Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. Father, we just thank you for a great time of worship today. We thank you for your presence that's here. We pray, Lord, that through the word that comes forth, let us sense your heart. And God, let us begin to receive the excitement and the expectation of sharing your presence with others, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So the ripple effect of one, you see what Jesus did. He went and he began to reach one. And so what did he do? Andrew went And he found Simon Peter. And so what did he do? He began to tell him, hey, I met this Jesus. He's the Messiah. And he came. You look at Philip, and he began to meet Andrew. And so what were they doing? When they were encountering the Lord, they were going out and telling someone. And so we've got to understand how things work. We first start with addition before we have multiplication. And so the Bible talks about how God added to the church daily those that were being saved. But then the church entered into multiplication. So what happened? You have Andrew reaching Peter. Then you have Philip, you know, beginning to reach Nathaniel. And so they begin to go out and reaching one. But then all of a sudden the church hits a place in Acts chapter 4 where it starts, there's no longer addition, but there's multiplication. But how does God build the church? He builds it through addition first, which is what? Each one of us reaching one. And it starts this ripple effect where revival begins to break out. Amen? A movement started through connection with one person to another person. And so we are connectors. Come on, tell your neighbor you're a connector. And have you ever done, when I was young, I mean, we don't have them around here because there's not a lot of agricultural things and farming here. But, you know, I grew up and there was cows down the street from my house. And they had these electric fences. Yes. And so we would play a game because I would come, you know, and so I had the electric fence. Have you ever touched an electric fence, anyone? Oh, it's not fun. But what I would do is I would connect with someone, touch the electric fence, and they get shocked, not me. And we do this, we're boys, you know, we do a lot of crazy stuff. But what happens when you're a connector and you're connected to Jesus, that connection flows through you into the lives of other people. Are you here? If you're connected to the love of God, that love will touch people as you come in connection with them. If you're connected to the power of God, healing flows. Come on. If you're connected to the power of God, deliverance flows and people get a little bit uncomfortable. I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable. We can take care of that for you in Jesus' name. You know, I saw Charlie Kirk, and you know, he's on universities, and he went there, and there was a post this week, I don't know if you saw it, and some Satanist came up dressed like, I don't know what the animal is, some weird animal. What's it called? Goat? Goat? I don't know, poor goats, I don't know why they, but the goat. You know, and he went up there, and this thing's up there, and he starts chanting all these satanic chants, you know, and Charlie Kirk just smiled and said, I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus, you know, and the guy got a bit unnerved and walked away, and He said, you know, on this campus, Jesus is Lord, and we ain't having the devil today. Not today. Not on my watch. Come on. I thought that's amazing, you know, and you could just see the power and the authority of God. He didn't miss a beat, but what happened? The authority, because when you go on a campus, come on, you're Jesus in that campus. When you go to work, you're Jesus in that workplace. You're there, and you're a connector. And that's what God wants us to see. So there's five things that God wants us to do in order to have this ripple effect. Number one, what we must do is we must open our eyes to the opportunity. Yes. Many of us are waiting. Well, I need to go to Bible school. I need to get trained. I need, you know, all these things. And nothing wrong with those things. We can keep learning and growing, but people don't care about your theology. They don't care about all your Greek and your Hebrew. Now, Sunday, we can do that, and I'm not saying that disrespectfully. I'm a theologian. I'm a student of the word. I'm always learning and growing, but I realize, you know, most of the stuff I learn in my theology course, I don't teach on Sunday because y'all would all be asleep. People are trying to think how to get through the week. They're thinking how to break out of the bondages, to deal with their addictions. That's what people need. They need the power of God. Yeah. And so all of the other things, it's great, and you know, we can get into that as we mature in Christians, we want to understand, but Jesus went about doing first, and he went about teaching. Yeah. And so sometimes, you know, when there was no faith, he taught, but what did he do? He went out and demonstrated the power of God. He went out and healed. He went out and said, the kingdom of God has come. He went out and they did it, and they said, you're doing it by the power of the devil. And he said, no, a house divided against itself will fall. This is the power of God. He said, your sins are forgiven. And they said, how can you forgive sins? So he did a miracle. He said, which is easier? Yeah. Come on. He was right. And he blew the Pharisees and all those people who wanted to have a committee meeting. They wanted to talk about it. They wanted to vote on it. They wanted to get all the time in the dialogue. And he just went, bam, and did it. And they got really angry about it because they couldn't control it. And so we've got to be connectors, opening our eyes. Jesus said in Matthew 9, verse 37, to the disciples. So he's talking to his followers. He's talking to the Christians, we could say. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. What was he saying? Guys, it ain't about the harvest. It's about you. Are you here? So as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, you're called to be a worker. Thank you for those three amens. So tell your neighbor, you're called to work. We don't like the word work. I want to relax. I want to, here I am, Lord, send Gwen. You know, I need prayer, so I don't pray for myself. I call my connect group leaders, and will you pray for me? You lazy thing, pray for yourself. Come on, I have no problem praying for people, but if you haven't prayed for yourself, you want me to do all the work? In our church, we don't roll that way. Don't be calling the church. Call you. Pray for yourself. Get some brothers and sisters. You know, if you really need help, we'll come in. And I'm not saying we're not here for you. But we're a church where we teach you to pray. We teach you to do the word. We teach you to do it. If not, everything's dependent on us. You'll wear us out. Because all we're doing is changing diapers all the time. Are you here?
Yeah.
And that's what Paul said. He said, you should be feeding others, but you still need milk. You still want to suck on a bottle.
Yeah.
It's time to grow up. What's maturity? You go to work.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And what's the difference between a child and growing into maturity? You graduate. My son, Ethan's graduating in May. And I told him, you're getting a job. He's looking for one. Amen. We put a lot of investment in you. Now it's time to work. And so he's getting to enjoy himself a little bit. He's studying and doing stuff. But guess what? When you get a job, you got working hours. When you get the job, there's an expectation. There's a press. All the stuff that's in you, it's time to use it now and help the company, the business, be successful. The same thing is true. When you get saved, guess what? Jesus did all the work, but now it's time for you to work. People say, Jesus did everything. I don't need to do anything. Where's that in the Bible? Now, Jesus did everything in your salvation. You can't work out your salvation. But the Bible does say work out your salvation in fear and trembling. What is that? You working out your holiness, because you have to take charge of your holiness. You can't blame the devil anymore because he broke the power of the devil. It ain't the devil.
Come on.
Come on. It's our laziness. It's our lack of self-control, our lack of discipline to be a disciple. And we're always blaming some church. I mean, the devil, this. I'm thinking, why does the devil hang out with you so much? Blame the devil. My car, the devil's in my car. My refrigerator, the devil's in my refrigerator. My devil's on my chair. I'm thinking, why is the devil, like, what nations are you taking and principalities and powers that you're dealing with that you're having direct contact with Satan? Because he can only be in one place at one time. So if he's at your house, he can't, like, are you that big on the radar of things? Think about it. It ain't the devil. It's your flesh. Come on, you have no self-control. You just swipe, swipe, swipe. And then the bills come in. Oh, God's not providing. God provided, you just overspent. Can we get real today? Oh, the devil's attacking my body. It ain't your body. It's you've been eating in and out and McDonald's and Wendy's and all that stuff. Oh, and you ain't exercised in years. Don't blame the devil. Come on. If your car breaks down because you didn't change the oil, don't blame the manufacturer. You got to get the dirt out of the oil and recycle it. Come on. Are you here? Can we get real in church this morning? So look at what do we need to adjust in our life? The problem was not with the harvest. The problem was not there's opportunity. Statistics say in Orange County, less than 23% of people go to church. And those that go to church, because I've met a lot of them, they go to church once a month, once every 2 months, they're probably in that statistic. So I would probably say 85 to 90% of the population of Orange County are not discipled, planted in a church, and a biblical Christian. Oh, pastor, that's such a hard territory. It's an opportunity.
Yeah.
Come on, there's no reason this place should be full this morning. There's no reason 9 o'clock shouldn't be full. There's no reason we shouldn't be talking about starting another service. Because you can't tell me 5-10 minutes from here, there's not 50 to 100 people that need Jesus and they're looking for hope, and there's no one telling them where hope is found. Are you here? It's like the shoe salesman. He went to Africa. He got off the plane and he said, send me a return ticket. Nobody wears shoes here. There's no way I'm gonna be able to sell shoes. So they sent another salesperson. He got off the plane and he looked and nobody had shoes on. He said, empty the warehouse. Nobody wears shoes here. We got to sell every shoe we got because they don't have shoes. How do we look at things? Oh, the word is terrible. People don't want the Lord. It's not. That's all our excuses because we're not looking for the opportunity. Amen?
Yes.
Colossians 4 verse 5 says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, those outside the church. Make the most of every opportunity.
Yeah.
Make the most of every opportunity. We have opportunity. You know, there's a saying, opportunity knocks once. But guess what? If you don't take the opportunity, somebody else will. That's why you've heard me say, I joke, when I call my agents and they don't pick up their phone, I said, this was a $2 million deal, $30,000 commission, and you just lost it. Click. I'm trying to mentor you. Because you don't pick up your phone in this business, guess what? Everybody knows a realtor. If I call Adrian and he's overslept and doesn't get out of bed and sleeps till 2 o'clock every day, somebody else at 8:30 is picking up their phone. Who are you going to call? That person. Well, I don't know why God's not providing for me. Get out of bed, you lazy thing. Come on. Go to work. Amen. The Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. Don't complain because you don't have food. Fix the problem. I didn't preach this at 9 a.m. I don't know why I'm preaching this, but come on. How do we deal with the outsider? We miss the opportunities. So we're like, well, nobody wants Jesus. There's people that you walk by all the time. It's like the Good Samaritan that need the Lord, and we don't talk to them. So think of an opportunity. When I go to the jacuzzi, it's an opportunity at the gym to talk about the Lord, to talk to someone. And we should be doing that all the time. I went to the hospital, you know, Pastor Susan was in the hospital, and they say cafeteria food is terrible. It was amazing. It's all healthy, and I don't know. I went to the cafeteria, I'm like, wow, this is great. I should come here for lunch sometime, you know? It was cheap, and it was affordable and healthy. They got nutritionists there. I'm like, wow. But I'm sitting there. While I'm sitting there, I look around, and everyone is by themselves. You have a few people, maybe some nurses and a little group, but there's professional because they work on shifts, so everyone's taking their lunch break at different times. And they're all sitting there, they're on their phone, they're eating, and they're just looking around. I'm thinking, wow, we should come here for lunch more often. Can I sit at your table and talk to you today? And have a conversation. There's people that are open, that are there, they just got no one to talk to. They're probably a little bit, you know, burnt out. Working in a hospital is not a fun place. Come on, people are there because they're sick. People are there because they got surgery. The nurse is there. I mean, they have to change your bedpan. Yeah. They got to clean people. They got to do all the stuff. I mean, my dad used to say this, next to angels, the closest thing on earth to angels are nurses. Come on, give all the nurses a big hand, amen? They're doing all those things. But like, I'm sure it's got to be a difficult job, and everybody's screaming. I was there. We were in the room. We had to close the door. People are screaming. I'm in pain. I want to die. I'm like, I don't want my wife to hear that. Come on. You're dealing with all that stuff. What kind of environment? But how could we come in and share love, be encouraged, appreciate, do something? You know, well, they're getting paid for it. That's their job. No. Come on. We're all working for the Lord. But what are the opportunities around us? When you're eating lunch, when you go to the gas station, I always, you know, go in and get a drink or something because I want to talk to the person. And we go to the Shell station here. Everybody knows us. You know, you're from the church. Yeah. Guess what? They allowed us to put our Christmas sign right up in front of the Shell station because we know the manager. Come on, because they're there. We go to Trader Joe's up the street. They allowed us to set up a booth, and Jaleesa was there, and we had all the people in the booth. How'd you get Trader Joe's? Because we're nice to people. It's all about relationship. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And again, it's not what you know either, it's who you know that's gonna help people. Come on. Andrew didn't wait for Bible school training. He didn't wait for perfection. He just responded, I met the Messiah. And you need to meet him too. I met the Christ. I met Jesus, and you need to meet him too. That encounter he had, he just went and shared the encounter. And we try to make it so complicated. People don't share because why? What if they ask a question that I don't understand? What do you do? Tell them that's a great question. That's why you should come to church on Sunday. You can ask my pastor. Or you can ask my Connect group leader. Or I'm gonna find out for you. You know, but we're so worried about that. It doesn't matter. Just have the conversation. Are you here? The moment we encounter Jesus, we are equipped to reach someone else. Yeah. Yes. Come on, tell your neighbor, you're ready. You're ready. Tell someone behind you, you're ready. You're ready. All you have to do is tell your story. In Acts chapter 8, we see Philip. He encounters the Holy Spirit. And as he's on his way home, he walks by a chariot, and there's a prodding of the Lord. There wasn't a voice from heaven, Philip. He just felt a prompting in his heart to approach the chariot. So he went to the chariot, and there's an Ethiopian leader inside, official. And he's reading the book of Isaiah. And he's searching for the Lord. And Philip begins to tell him about being baptized and about Jesus Christ. And he accepts Jesus. He gets baptized. And guess what? He goes back to Ethiopia with the gospel. Now, we don't know what happened after that, but I probably think he went back, and as a person of influence, he went back and told people about Jesus and probably had a baptism party himself. But are we willing to approach those that God puts in our heart? So I want to give you some homework right now. I mean, you're not prepared for this. You didn't bring a piece of paper, but most of y'all have your phone. Who are three people that you come across with every day that you think needs Jesus? Who are those three people? Make a list, all right? And then do two things. First of all, pray for them daily. I mean, we pray for ourselves. We pray for our breakthrough. Come on, how many of y'all need some more money? How many of y'all pray for your family, your children? We pray for all those things inwardly that we need. But are we praying for those outside of our family? We're praying for those that maybe that answer prayer doesn't help us. It's helping them. Pray for people. And what are we praying? As we begin to pray for them, ask God, secondly, to open their eyes and open your eyes. So you can see those around you that God wants you to speak to, see those around that God wants you to serve, and it's gonna be easy. I told you, 2 weeks ago, I met somebody at the jacuzzi, and his job is ending, he needs another job. I said, send me your resume. I didn't preach the gospel. I'm just here to help somebody because I know people. He's a sharp guy, he's out of a job. That's a pretty scary thing, living in Orange County, not having a job. So let's help them get a job. Help them with physical needs. Maybe, it's a neighbor who needs some help. They're going on vacation. Hey, can I help take in your bins? It's simple things like that. You're building a relationship. And what you do is you do that, their heart's open. Wow, this person's a really nice person. No other neighbor has ever asked me that. Nobody else has tried to help me in this gym of hundreds of people. And then their heart starts opening. And then what, you're able to share the Lord with them. You're able to encourage them. Are you here?
Yes.
It's not so difficult, but we've got to look at the opportunity. What's the problem? We miss the opportunity because we don't open our eyes. And I'm talking about spiritual eyes. Open your spiritual eyes and look at the opportunity that God puts upon you. Amen?
Yeah.
Number two, then what? Share what you've experienced. You don't have to go and get a theology degree. What can you do? You can just share your experience. Revelations 12:11 says they triumphed over the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by what? The word of their testimony. There's power in your testimony. When you share your testimony, it opens the hearts of people because you're sharing your experience. I can debate theology. I've talked to people from different faiths, and we can say that they got their book, we got their book, our book, and we all have different teachings in our books, and some things are similar and things are, and we can just have this theological debate. But when I share my experience, it's not a debate. I experienced it.
Yeah, that's right.
I was delivered. Are you here?
That's good.
Samuel, I was talking to him, yesterday. He was telling me about his grandma. Smoked for 40 years and could not stop. She went through every treatment, took every patch, every pill, shock therapy. I mean, all the stuff that's out there. Could not stop smoking. She's a chain smoker. As kids, they didn't want to go to her house because it smelled like an ashtray. But the moment she got saved, she lost all her desire for cigarettes and was instantly delivered and never smoked again. Come on. Now, that doesn't happen for everybody, but how many think that's a testimony? For people struggling with addiction, I know people, they're struggling to get off nicotine, and it's a battle. If you're struggling, we're here for you. We want to pray for you. There's no condemnation, but come on, don't put that stuff in your body.
Yeah.
It's not good for you. Are you here? If you're struggling with other things, God will set you free. The only addiction you should have is being addicted to Jesus. Amen. And don't give anything power of your life. But that's a testimony. But all of us don't have those kind of testimonies. I grew up in church. I never smoked. I never did drugs. I was not promiscuous. I didn't do all those things. I was a pretty decent kid. But that doesn't mean I don't have a testimony. That's a testimony in itself. But what was my testimony? I grew up around religion. I grew up around dead church. I grew up around committed people but never saw the power of God. And come on, when I experienced the power of God and strong preaching the first time, something came alive on me in the inside of me. And what happened? I've been hungry for God since then and hungry for the presence and the power of God and to experience it in my generation. Traveled around the earth, and I know that God is real. I've been on stages where ears have opened up, and there was a little boy who had a plastic surgery, didn't have an ear. He was born without an ear, and God put an eardrum in his ear. Don't tell me miracles aren't real. I've seen an old man in Brazil and couldn't stand up with three ushers, and Chris was there, and we prayed for him, and God did a creative miracle and put new kneecaps in, and he moved around. Don't tell me that Jesus is not still a miracle worker today. I don't believe that. Amen. You know, well, demons are just, you know, it's just allegory. There's not real demons. Well, when we say come out and someone falls on the floor and slithers like a snake, I've seen people elevate. I've seen women talk in a man's voice. Y'all getting scared. Don't be scared. It's fun. I'm like, wow, that's cool. What is that? That's a demon. Let's get it. I'm not scared of it. I think I was amazed. I'm like, this stuff is real. You go to Asia and get us out of America, people know that's real because they grew up around it with all the idolatry and stuff. They know demons, and people channel demons. And, you know, they do all this stuff and put needles in their bodies and tattoos and, you know, all have supernatural strength. They're used to the supernatural. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We have authority over those things. But don't tell me that stuff's not real. It's real. But what do? We deal with it like Jesus does. Shut up and come out and let's keep preaching. Amen. Don't give the devil attention. All these people putting demons on the internet and talking to them. Where did Jesus ever have an interview with demons? Well, one time he asked, what is your name? Legion. He was demonstrating that person can have one more than demon. But the rest of the time he said, shut up. He didn't have a conversation. Shut up and come out. I don't want to ask your history. I don't want to hear your bio. How did you come in and all this? Like, who cares? Get the person free and let's move on with Jesus. Are you here? But we do that because it's sensational, but it's not biblical. And we glorify the devil in the manifestation rather than the person getting free. Are you here? That's why when we have deliverance, we don't put the cameras on. I don't know about you, but I don't want to come into a room where it's captured on footage forever and all over the internet. And, hey, Chris, remember you? You know, like people are showing you your footage. Like, build a safe place. Are you here? Let's hear the testimony afterwards and see the freedom in people's eyes and the joy. And that's what we want to put out there. Are you here? Come on, give the Lord a shout. Amen. So who are the three people you can pray for? Who are the people that you can ask God to open your eyes and just love them and serve them and share what you've experienced? It's not difficult. The Bible says in Psalms 107 verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord. How many are redeemed? It says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell your story. What's your story? The Bible says he redeemed me from the hand of the foe. What did Philip do? He found a man named Nathanael, and he told his story. We found the one that Moses spoke about, and he told his story. It was a personal declaration of what had happened in his experience and what God done in his life. It was not a doctrinal dissertation. Are you here? And so sometimes we think we have to have that. The number one reason why we don't share with people is we think, well, I don't have enough knowledge. You're never going to have enough knowledge. I've been preaching for 30 years. The more knowledge I have, the more I know I don't know. When you're young, you think you know everything. The older I get, I don't know nothing. I'm still learning. When you get to heaven, you're still going to be learning about Jesus. Because we just have a finite moment. He's infinite. And so that doesn't disqualify us. Just stay humble and keep learning. There's some stuff I preached 30 years ago. I threw away the CDs. That time we had tapes. Like, that was off. And I've read the Bible. And, you know, I'll give you one right now. The Bible says that the enemy comes to kill. Jesus said, I came to give you life. And the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he says, I've come that you might have life. Yeah. And what do? We preach that about the devil, right? Yeah. But if you read the context, he's not talking about the devil. You know what he's talking about? Leaders who don't teach the word. They're the thieves. How can the devil be the thief if Jesus already defeated him? And I used to disturb that. Oh, it's the devil coming to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's true. That's his nature. But Jesus kicked him in the face, knocked out his teeth, took away his keys, and he gave them to you. Why are you letting him in your house? Lock the door. He has no authority over you. But we think this is right. But Jesus, I'm here to have life, and the devil's trying to steal, and there's this tug of war going on. It's talking about people who rob people because they don't teach the word of God. So you don't know your keys. You don't know the word of God. You're believing ungodly things, and it opens the door for the enemy in your life. But I preached that for years. Oh, the devil. I get rid of that. That's not right. Now we got to learn correctly and teach the word correctly. Are you here? Amen? So write out your testimony. Give you some more homework. Write out your testimony. Don't give me the autobiography. Well, it all started in 1972 in a place called Raleigh, North Carolina. Come on, people. Someone read your autobiography. Most people ain't got time for that. 2 to 3 minutes. How can you share your testimony? And what is your testimony? I put this up for you, all right? My life before Christ. What was your life like before Christ? You know, my life was religion. My life, I believed in God. I loved God, but I didn't know God. And there was no power in it. It was just religion. I grew up and we were in church on Sunday morning. We went to Shoney's or Denny's or Olive Garden for lunch. And we're there the whole day. And we went back to church at 6 o'clock at night. And I was like, church again? I was in the church all the time. But it was religion. There was no power. We were always praying for revival, and revival never came. But what happened? I encountered the presence of God and heard the message about being a disciple. And I said, I want to be a disciple. And I went and I prayed, and the Lord said, I've called you to bring one that will bring change. And there was a hunger in my heart. And I traveled the world searching for the power of God. And God's brought me before great men of God. And I know that Jesus is real. I've seen miracles, lives restored, marriages that were on the rocks, people on the verge of divorce. And God has brought restoration. They're leaders in churches and doing things. God is real. Are you here? That's my testimony. What's your testimony? I know Chris has a testimony. You know, he joined the military to get out of addiction and get out of things that he needed discipline in his life, but he found God. God brought him a godly woman. Y'all are not supposed to be separated. God brought you a godly woman, you know, that helps to keep him disciplined. And, you know, and what? They're serving God together. God brought, Patsy has her testimony out of brokenness and out of perversion and come together, and you look at them and they look like they were high school sweethearts. They did know each other in high school, you know. Serving the Lord, kids are serving the Lord, you know, doing, God's brought restoration. You would never know it. That's the power of God to break addiction and to bring us out of perversion and bring us into wholeness and health. Come on. That's the testimony. So what was our testimony before Christ? How what was our life like before we met Christ? And don't spend 90% on that. Right. I've heard some testimonies. I'm like, can you get to the Jesus part, please? It's all the before Christ stuff. They're trying to shock people with all their story. Like, yeah, I mean, we all can make, but don't glorify the devil and how bad your story was. It's almost like you're more excited about that part. No. That's the preface to then I met Jesus. And how did you meet Jesus? Was it an individual? Someone shared with you? Someone? How did you meet Jesus? What did you experience? What did it feel like? And then thirdly, what's your life like since? How is life better? How has your life been transformed? How is it better? And it's not that you have a perfect life. Come on, we're all going through stuff, but Jesus is with us. That's what makes it better. And so, you know, don't say, oh, I never have any more problems. I never worry about anything. Don't present something that's not realistic and true, but what is your life like? And share it in 2 to 3 minutes. It doesn't take so long. That's all that you need. That's your story. And God will bring you to people who need your story. I can't go where you go. Are you here? I'm not going to school for you. We have SOCA students here that are in SOCA. I'm not going to school with you. If I go on campus, they're going to kick me out of the campus. What are you doing here? Where's your student ID? Why are you here? Right. You look too old to be in college. Come on. I'm not going to work with you. Are you? You can't go to my gym with me unless you have a membership. They're going to stop you at the front. Where's your ID? Right. They're going to scan it. They keep track of how long you've been there. You know, market you accordingly. And you can't just walk up, well, I want to go to the gym today and witness to people. Sorry, sir. Buy a membership. You're not getting through the door. You see the example? I can't go to high school with Grant. Right. Come on, they got security there. I can't go, but you can't go to some places I can go. But God puts us in those places because of our story. Are you here? Amen? So what have we learned so far? We need to look for the opportunity. Lift up your eyes. We're missing opportunities every week. And then be ready. Just get your story straight. Amen? Practice your story. Practice sharing. I heard one Connect group this week, they shared their testimonies to each other. I thought that was great. Come on, I'll be the unsaved person. You share your testimony with me. And did that role playing. That's what we do that in business. I do that with my realtors. You be the realtor. You be the, you know, client. And we practice. But then when it comes to God, you know, let's just wing it and trust the Holy Spirit. No, practice. Are you here? And be ready in season, out of season. You know, can you share about Jesus? Let me go fast and pray for 3 days. I'll come back. Just share your story. Then finally, thirdly, what? Extend the invitation boldly. Yes. Invite people to come to Jesus. I've been with people and they share their testimony. The person's, you know, little tear in the eye. And they're like, well, I'll pray for you. Don't leave them hanging. It's like the worst thing to me is you're in a service. The anointing is there. Power of God is there. The power of God is present to heal, to minister. And the person does a closing prayer and ends the meeting. That provokes me because we don't want to get into the work of the altar call. You know, I told the story, you know, I was preaching and I started having successful and someone bought me a brand new suit. I was looking pretty stylo. And in the middle of the meeting, somebody manifested in the altar call on the floor and nobody knew what to do. And I was like, where's the pastor? You know, and the Lord said, you get down there. And I said, I got a new suit on. And it was a very quick conversation. And the Lord rebuked me. You're not going to do the work because now you're prospering. You got a new suit and you're too good to get in the floor and get somebody free. And I took that off. I've been on stages. I split my britches before. I mean, during the skinny jeans stage. I mean, come on. I was on stage with Benny Hinn and my pants tore because I'm a big old guy. And I was catching with this other guy. Rip. So I just had the face forward ministry. Amen. But I'm willing to be a fool for Jesus if the power of God is there, and I'm willing to adapt. I'm not too good or too clean or too, you know, I can't do something.
Yes.
Come on, we're servants of God. Amen. We never get to that place. Are you here?
Yes.
So extend the invitation. Luke 14, verse 23, it says, then the master told his servant, go out into the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. We talked about last week, if you missed the service, go online, watch it. That the house is, God's wanting his house to be full, but he's already prepared the banquet. The food is ready. He's done everything that he needs to do for people to have life. All we got to do is invite them and get them to the banquet. And he says, if you go out and people don't want to come, go out again and go into the more difficult places and keep inviting until the house of God is full. Come on, what if 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, come on, we have that kind of thing. We're saying we're going to keep inviting until, come on, we fill up the house, until we need to add another service. So we had to add all the services we can on Sunday. Let's add some on Saturday. Come on, let's do it on Friday. I've been to churches. I went to Yoedo Full Gospel Church. They have a church of a million people at one time. And their hall only seats like 20,000. And I thought, I mean, I'm a pretty smart guy. I'm like, how in the world do you have church? So they have church there, and they do it, I think, 8-9 times on the weekend. And then they bought office buildings that can seat 1,000 people, and they have overflow rooms. So they bought corporate offer, and every floor is 1,000 people, and people in the overflow rooms doing it. And then they got the place, they really have no space, so you have to, if you're in a Connect group, there's some weeks you can't come to church to make room for other people. And they're buying buildings, you look at what God has done, and the hugeness of what God has done, and what they've done, but what are they doing? They keep reaching one person, they keep reaching people, and mostly it was the women that would go to the grocery store and follow somebody home. And so, you know, 75% of the church is women. I thought, where are the men? Because the men, you know, the men are working and doing other things. The women were out there evangelizing. And every day I'm going to talk to someone and win someone to the Lord. And after I do my grocery shopping, before I go home and prepare. And, you know, it's a different culture there. The women don't work. And that's how they grew the church. Because they were all out about reaching one and sharing their testimony. Are you here? And we can do church many different ways. But we need to talk to someone. Amen? 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, it says, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Have you ever heard that? Like, God's giving me power. God's got to give me a spirit of fear, but a power, a love, and a sound mind. And we use that for our breakthrough. But what's the context here? Read the last part. So do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. What's the context? Sharing your testimony. Come on, you can have, I got boldness to cast out devils. I can prophesy the house down, but you can't even win your neighbor to the Lord. You can't talk to the woman at the grocery store. It's easy. I mean, you know, it's easy when you're in the room with all people who love football to talk about football, to be involved. Because if you're in the room, it's easy in church to be on fire because we're all on fire, or we should be. But when you're outside the four walls of the church, are you able to be bold? That's the context. God's not giving you a spirit of timidity. Don't be intimidated. Come on, you've got the best message. You've got the best testimony. You've got Jesus is good. It's the good news, not the bad news. And so we need to be bold. God's given us a spirit of power, but what does it flow through? Love. And what? Discipline. What is discipline? Being about our Father's business. Are you here? And so that's the thing, that the context was there. And Paul's telling Timothy, because Paul spent time with Timothy, not just preaching behind the pulpit, but doing life with him. Right. It was about relationship. And I think one of the things that's lacking in the world today more than anything is relationship. People don't know how to do real relationship. It's hard to find, you know, fair-weathered friends are a dozen. But to find someone who sticks closer than a brother, who will be there through thick and thin, or a sister, you know, that's there. If you're a woman, come on. It's hard to find. Come on, people. How many of you, when you're on successful and you're paying and you're buying drinks, everybody's there. But come on, when you need some help, they don't pick up your phone call. When you need to borrow some money or you lost your job, or where do they go? But come on, we have a friend. The Bible says, he will stick closer than a brother. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Come on, he's there with us. And we need to be that expression to him. So set a goal. What if we could all set a goal each week to at least talk to one person and share a testimony? Come on, if you did that four times in a month with four different people, come on, I'm sure two of them would show up. I'm sure one of them would get saved. Are you here?
Yeah.
What would happen to the move of God that we carry? We've got to tell someone. You know, I grew up in the Baptist church, and before we got the Holy Ghost, and then we got kicked out. And we used to sing these songs. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Come on, all my Baptist Costco people, come on. Yeah. But hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Come on. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. We should sing that song next week, Stephen. I think it'd be good for us. Come on. Like, let's modernize it a little bit. But I'm going to let my light shine. That should be our heartbeat. Well, I'm not hiding my light. No, I'm going to let it shine. That's what this verse is talking about, amen? And then what we said, go tell it on the mountain that you... Come on. We got the mountains here. I was at Big Bear, and I was there 2 hours later. I'm back at the beach. And come on, you can go tell it at the beach. You can go tell it on the mountain. You can go. We got it. We got everything here in Southern California. But what's this thing? Go and tell it that Jesus Christ is Lord. That God is good. It's the good news. Nobody should think I don't want to get saved because I want to lose life, and I'm gonna, you know, be shortchanged in life. Jesus didn't came to take from us. He came to add to us. And the most exciting life we can live is a life as a Christian, born again, spirit filled. It's the most exciting life we can live. That was a great place to say amen. Amen. So let's tell somebody. Why would we think they're gonna reject it? Tell people. And then number four, what must we do? Be willing to walk with them. Amen. It's not about, well, I got another notch on my belt. I led another one to Jesus. And, you know, it's not about the numbers. It's about people. Numbers are important. There's a book of numbers in the Bible because people count. Yeah. But it's not about counting numbers.
Yeah.
Are you here?
Yeah.
For me, it's not about the numbers. Our church, it's not about the numbers. Well, we got 1,000 people. We hit 1,000 people. Well, how many are disciples? How many of them are tithing? How many of them are in ministry? How many of them are reaching other people? Five. Well, you got a real small church. Because how does Jesus count the church? And I'm not against it. I mean, we want to grow, but let's grow in disciples. We don't. There's a lot of crowd. We don't just want another crowd. We got a lot of crowds. Are you here? But we want to build a disciple. And can we have thousands of disciples? We can. I've seen it in the world, but we want to grow. The church is only as strong as its weakest member. Someone said this, the church is only as strong as its sending power. When we go out after this service is over, what impact are we having? That's the strength of the church. That's how Jesus looks at the quality of the church. So we're not against that, but it's not about a crowd. And there's, we can go out and put on a show, and what do you have? I've seen churches, and we've seen it here in Orange County, and I'm not gonna name names, but you know, you go out and you see the church, and they have their first launch service with two services. And I'll go in sometime just out of curiosity, and they're live streaming their first service, and everybody's lifting hands. Everybody's clapping. I'm like, those aren't unchurched people. You just cleared out somebody else's church with your new church by being the flavor of the month. But what we get all our pastor friends on social media, go to this church, go to this church. And all the people who are following the crowd, they go around. But guess what? There'll be a new flavor of the month in another year, and they're going to clear out your church. And what do you have? You have people just hopping around, looking for the show, not being discipled, waiting for the latest thing. Come on, welcome to Orange County. That's not how we build the church. I'm not threatened when those churches open. People, oh, so-and-so's coming to town. Well, God bless them. Why? Because we're about making disciples, amen? Just because somebody moves in next door to me, I'm not worried about my kids going over there. They sleep in my house and eat from my refrigerator, and this is home. Are you here? If you build your church, it's relational. There's not going to be a problem. You know, we're so insecure, checking the person. You know, well, we got married because we want to make sure she doesn't look at another guy. Well, come on, be the hottest thing in town and treat her like a queen. She ain't going to be looking over the fence. Come on. And treat your man like a king. When he comes home, give him a kiss and a hug and say, baby, I missed you. I got no time for any other woman. Come on. My full attention is on her. I went away camping. It was great to be with a guy, and you know, but I'm like, I miss my wife. It ain't the same. Are you here? Married people know what I'm talking about. It ain't the same. You know, and we can do all those things, but I miss my wife. I miss my life. Why? Because it's abundant. It's full. It's fruitful. Are you here? Be willing to walk through with them. The Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. What's relationship? We carry each other's burdens. The Bible says when one rejoices, we rejoice. And I love to rejoice together. But when one's going through it, go through it with them. When one is suffering, be there for that person. That's the church. Some churches, you know, when you're in faith, you're up there giving a testimony. But when you struggle, it's like, oh, something's wrong. There must be sin in the camp. You know, you must have done something wrong. You didn't have enough faith. I mean, in the church, we shoot our own people. But come on, sometimes it's just life happens. There's no explanation. We don't all, when we get to heaven, I got a lot of questions for Jesus. Come on. But right now, what do? When we don't see the hand of God, we trust his heart. Yeah. Yes, sir. We live in a fallen world. Bad things happen to good people. Christians, we went through COVID too. Yeah. Are you here? Some of us got it and we were sick, but you got through it. You're alive and you're here this morning. Amen. And so we need to do that, but walking through stuff with people. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 8 says, because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. There's a lot of people out there, they like to preach the word, they like to teach, but they don't really like people. You know, and I've seen that, great gifts, great preach, but they blow into the green room, blow out, like, don't talk to anyone, I'm so anointed, nobody can touch me. Jesus was not like that. Come on, he didn't have a security entourage when he went through the marketplace. The woman with the issue of blood never would have got to him. And I understand there's a need for that, sometimes in third world nations, the safety and things like that, but we need to be approachable. We need to talk. We're not so holy that, you know, if you're holy, then let people get close to you. And holiness will rub off on them. Yeah. So we need to change. And sometimes we need to rest. You know, in between service, I rest my voice a little bit and I fellowship before. And, you know, you need to do what you need to do to get through things. But instead, don't not be approachable. Come on, Pastor, can I meet you? Yeah, I have an appointment in 2027 and February 13th. How's that work for you? If that's the case, you're not building a church right. You need to have people. And thank God we have a great leadership team, our Connect Group leaders. Come on. They help Pastor Susan, and most of this stuff gets dealt with. They're like, oh, Pastor, we had this prayer. We cast that devil out. I'm like, oh, great. How did it go? Oh, Pastor, we prayed for them, and they got healed. And oh, Pastor, they're married, you know. But then there are times we need to step in, and we do, and we're here for that. But most of the stuff gets taken care of because why? We equip people. We train people. That's what Jesus did. Look, here's how you raise the dead. Get all the unbelievers out. You know, laid on them, breathed on them. What did they do? Later, they got all the unbelievers out. They did the same thing. They just followed what Jesus did, and it worked. Yeah. Most of what I've known, I just copied somebody else that knew how to do it. Right. That's how you catch it. Yeah. That's what I do. I catch it. How did they do it? When I got close to Benny Hinn in the back, why did you do that? What did you do? And he would explain things to me. I was around Reinhard Bunke, and how did you do it? And all these people had come, and in the back, the best, Jesus did the same thing. You know, they were out there, the disciples were like, amen, Jesus, preach it. And they went to the back room, what in the world were you talking about? And Jesus would explain the parable. Thank God he did, because we didn't get it the first time either. And those things, it's relational. Someone say relational. People don't care how much you until they know how much you care. So we've got to have a relationship with them. Share our lives. I put this up. Evangelism isn't a one-time event. It's a relational journey. Come on, let's build relationship. Let's be a church where like these people are the friendliest people in town. And we're real. It's not plastic. On the front end, starting point, we're friendly, and then we close down the table, and nobody's friendly after church. I've been to churches like that. People sniff through it. It's like, oh, that's just a program. But we're friendly. People are coming. You're new in town. I mean, sometimes you get a little overwhelmed. I've had people say, I don't know what ministry to join because everybody's asking me to join their ministry, and I don't want to say no and make them feel bad. They won't feel bad. We're just excited about what we do. You come, and you got 5 connect groups inviting you to come. Which one should I go to? Just visit one and see which one you like. You know, we're not going to feel bad. We just want you to be here in the family. We're friendly people, you know? And I hear, well, I'm going to go to Sarah's Tuesday night because Daniel cooks amazing pasta, you know? Well, come on. Why don't you cook something in your connect group? Make your connect group excited, you know? Make your connect group happen, do stuff, and keep the things, you know, being excited so it's attractive to people. It's relationship. Thank God for the great praise and worship. Thank God. Hope you get blessed by my preaching. But what's the thing that sticks with people through life? It's the relationship we have, the love that we have for one another. That's the greatest testimony. Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples because of the love you have for one another. Amen? Many people walk through the front doors of the church, but they never build relationship. No one follows up with them, and they don't stay. And let's have a big front door where people are coming in, but let's not have a big back door too. And what do? We just have a revolving doors. People coming in and going. Let's have a small back door. Yeah. And we need to have a back door because the people come and they're like, I just want to come once a month. I don't want to serve. Don't ask me to read my Bible. I'm just here to just be loved and I'm here to receive. This is probably not the church for you. Because we're going to try to equip you. We're going to get you in ministry. We're going to tell you need to tithe and be a steward of what God's given to you. Come on, we're gonna hear him try to activate you in your purpose and get you to figure that out. We're an equipping church. That's the kind of church we are. And so if that's what you're into, welcome home. But if it's not, it's okay. There's a lot of other churches you can go and just sit and be there and feel like you're okay with Jesus and do nothing for the Lord. And you'll still get to heaven because God loves you and you know you believe in Jesus, but you'll do nothing for God. And so we wanna be an equipping church. And that's what Ephesians 4 says, the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So guess what? When you got saved, you signed up for work. Yeah. This side of the room is excited. I said, when you got saved, you signed up for work. And it's not terrible. It's work. I love to do what I do. Yeah. Come on, it's not work when you are passionate about it. Right. And that's what, do something you're passionate about. It's not work. I get paid and prosper in doing what I get to do. I get to cast out devils and preach the gospel and people pay for my hotel room and give me money afterwards. Like I dreamed of doing this my whole life. Like what? People value that? Like that's just not this what we're supposed to do. And our reward's in heaven. But you're passionate about it. It's great. It gets you out of bed in the morning. Are you here? We've got to build relationship with people, but it takes time. We've got to be willing to walk through stuff with people. And people are going to come in with their wrong beliefs. They're going to come in with their wrong lifestyles. And it's okay. You were a sinner once too. It's okay. Don't try it on the first day there. Well, you need to change that. And you need to do this. People come in the state they're in. Just love them. Get them in the Word. Get them in the presence of God, and God will work out their mess just like he worked out your mess. Come on. And that's the posture. People tell us, well, you allow homosexuals to come to church? We love homosexuals. Well, I'm from the LGBTQ, and we keep adding letters to the alphabet. We'll take you. You can be a Z, whatever that is, and come to Jesus. We love you. We're not going to make you feel, you can feel comfortable. You can come with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, you're going to have to behave in church just like you are. If you're married, you still have to behave in church. Come on. But we'll love you, getting the presence of God, getting in the Word of God. And what? God will start working in people's lives. Thank God I'm not the head of the church, and I don't have to try to be Jesus to everybody and be the Lord. Thank God I'm not the Holy Spirit. And I don't have to try to convict people, and I'm not going to control people. I don't got time for that. People come and, well, you know, why aren't you doing? I'm not going to control you. You got the Holy Spirit. You got the Word. It's between you and the Lord. I just have to preach it. Amen. Are you here?
Amen.
So it's not a one-time event. It's a relational journey. So what should we do? When people come, don't just, wow, praise the God. We had an amazing anniversary. Wow, well, the place was packed. No, send the person a text the following week. Ask the person, you know, what I do when I meet new people, I'm like, what did you think? Yeah. Jordan was here last week. What did I do? I want to, what'd you think? He's like, oh, this is great. Sometimes I'm like, oh, it's not really for me. Well, God bless you. You know, it's fine. You know, but like, what did you think? But how many would find out? Maybe there was a problem. Oh, I was confused. I didn't know where to drop off my kids. Well, let's fix that. Yeah. You know, it's not always positive, but like, what did you think? Be open and you know, and just be friendly. Be approachable. Yeah. Are you here? Be relational. Paul, thank God Paul mentored Timothy because he took over and became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. It's all relational. Jesus called his disciples that they might be with him. It was about relationship. It wasn't a theological training. It wasn't a Bible school. Can we take one more?
Yeah.
Come on, what do we learn today? Practical but important. What did we learn today? What is God telling us? Five things God wants us to do. Number one, open your eyes. Look at the opportunity. Number two? Number three? Number four? And I love this last one. Trust God with the results. Trust God. It's not your job to convict people. As a young pastor, I'm trying to help everybody. I wear myself out. After a while, I realize Jesus never slumbers and sleeps, but I need to. Come on. Moses had such a heart for the people, God rebuked him and said, these are my people. Yeah. We got to get away. But I sleep like a baby now. Why? Everything I'm doing is God. If it's not God, shut it down. I don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's right.
But I sleep like a baby. Ask my wife. I'm out in 2 minutes. And I sleep really well, like a rock most of the times. Why? Because I'm not stressed. There's pressures, but it's God. I mean, if God ain't in this, forget it. Let's close it down. You know, if God don't want me to go here, I don't want to go. Why would I want to go if God doesn't want me to be there? If God's not in this business, let's do something else. When you live your life that way, you're trusting God with the results. There's freedom in it. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6 says, Paul says, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. You can't make the seed grow. The farmer is not stressed with the seed. If I plant this, is it going to grow? Oh. No, he just keeps the weeds out. He just waters it. Growth comes from the ground. It's created to grow. God is the one who gives the increase. The Bible says that unless God builds the house, those that labor in vain. It's God's job to grow. It's God's job to do it. I'm not competition with another pastor. We just want this thing to be healthy, and we want it to be God. And God determines. Are you here? But we got to do our part. And so sometimes we're planting a seed. Sometimes we're watering a seed. Don't be out there, oh, I got to get my notch in my belt. You know, Stephen won 2 people to the Lord last month and I ain't got one. I better one up him and get 3. Don't be doing that kind of stuff. The church has had enough of that stuff. Are you here? Come on, just what do you do? You could be, how many seeds did you plant? How many seeds did you water? Maybe you didn't get the increase and Chris bumped into that person and someone else has been planting seeds. Someone else has been watering and he happened to reap the harvest. He doesn't get all the credit. The person that sowed, the person that watered, get the credit. So don't look at it that way. We get discouraged. Well, they said no. Well, keep asking. Finally, they'll say yes. And we do that in sales. You know, they say you need 10 no's before you get a yes. If I went to someone, are you interested? What is no, I ain't buying anything today. How many times have you walked into a place? I walked into car dealerships. I'm not buying today. I'm just looking. And I end up buying a car. But that guy did not, when I said I'm not interested, he's expecting it. Our boundaries are up. You walk into a store and, you know, there's a person there. Can I help you? And you're like, I'm just looking. You ended up buying something. Did anyone help you? That person who just asked you the question, they got the commission. But what? That's our initial, like, hey, no, I'm just looking. So don't be, why would we think anything different when we ask someone like, oh, you know, I don't need any of this religion stuff. I don't either. I hate religion. They're like, what? Then that's a great place to tell my testimony. And what do? We're watering seeds. We're selling testimonies. I've got this guy we're reaching out to, and I'm believing he's going to come for Easter. He's going to come for anniversary. But what am I doing now? Trying to help him find a job. I'm just having coffee. Right here. Just being friendly, being kind, being helpful. But after a while, what happened? God, why is this person so nice? Why is this person different than most of the people? Why is he even willing to help me? And also people's hearts get open and you're able to tell them why. And then you're able to minister to their heart and invite them to Jesus. Amen? Amen? But God gives the increase. Isaiah 55 verse 11, he says this, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and it will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. We are not responsible for the outcome. We're responsible to preach the word. And Reinhard Bonnke said this, God's word in your mouth is as powerful as his word in his mouth. So when you're preaching the gospel, you're preaching the word, it's as if Jesus was saying, it's the words in red. You're talking about the life, you're talking, God will give the increase. And so that takes the pressure off of us. What do we need to do? Just keep sharing, keep telling our story. Get your story together. Don't, you know, I need to fast and pray. Get it ready, as we've been talking this morning, and just share your testimony. Just be Christ to others. Be kind. Let the goodness of God, the fruit of the Spirit, shine through your life. Share your testimony when it's appropriate, when the time is open, and watch and see what God will do. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Amen? Yeah. Noah preached for 120 years with no converts. With no converts, little response, but he remained faithful. But thank God he did, because there was a remnant that was saved. Come on, if not, we wouldn't be here this morning, because the population would have been wiped off the face of the earth. He was faithful for 120 years. So let's not get discouraged when we don't get things instant. It takes time for people. I've seen some people and I'm like, I'm about to give up on them. And it's been years and like this person just is not getting it. And all of a sudden, they have an encounter with God. They're on fire. And you know, we got people that come to church and you know, they've been in church for years and they're like the turtles. But then somebody comes in and, you know, we have Brandon come in and Brandon's in the first service. And, you know, I was on overseas in missions 3 weeks and I heard, oh, we had a newcomer in and Brandon came in and he came in and he was in Connect Group the next week and signed up for Bible school a month later. And I came back and met and I'm like, hi, nice to meet you. I'm your pastor. I love it. And that'd be great if everybody was like that. But not everybody is. But you get those sparks and they're just hungry and they're ready and they're like a sponge. But not everybody's like that. But it's not our problem. We love everybody. We share the word with everybody. We disciple everybody to the level that's willing. That's why in our church, what do we say? We're a church that what we want to do, we want to reach the world. And we want to what? Disciple the willing. Not everybody's ready for that. You determine what level you want of discipleship. When the student's ready, the teacher will be there. And then what are we gonna do? We wanna release the ready. That's why, as we're equipped, we wanna release you into what you're called to do. Majority of the time people come, Pastor, I'm burdened about this and we need to do this. I said, okay, you go and do it. I'll help you. This is how we're gonna do it. Go and do it. They look at me. Come on, it's your burden. I don't have any burdens. I cast all my burdens on the Lord because he cares for me, amen. You got a burden? Okay, let's work together. I'm joking, but you get the picture. And we're equipping people. We're releasing the ready. Come on, let's stand on our feet today. Let's keep praying for those that invited. Let's keep sharing and watering the seed. And trust God to do the work. Amen?